from State Highway 82, Independence Highway, at 10,000 feet in Colorado. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, we've got good news if you've overindulged this Christmas with 6 genuinely useful tips to get you back on track and, more importantly, keep you on track.
Plus, the new development that could make selling stolen bikes a thing of the past, the Japanese people getting banned from driving for riding their bikes, a bunch of new 2026 Pro Team kits, and a couple of big new sponsor announcements from us at GCN.
Let's go.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that you lot think that Alex Paton has the best pain face in the world.
We had so many comments about this under our Hangover Challenge video. For those of you who haven't seen it, this was how he was looking at the end of a Zwift ramp test around our staff Christmas party.
Yeah, that was a different party, yeah. Ollie. Right. Now, I would describe that look as... Well, I'd describe it as not pretty, for starters. I mean, your hangover face wasn't particularly pretty either, but for very different reasons.
I think I prefer to forget that day,
I can see why. You probably have, to be honest.
We also learned that Wout van Aert is out for the rest of the cyclocross season. A crash in the Mol left him with a small fracture in his ankle, which required surgery.
Unfortunately, it might be serious enough to affect his Spring Classics campaign. More info on that over on this week's Racing News Show, if you want it.
And finally this week, we learned that Christmas has taken its toll on a few of the GCN presenters, Dan and I included. I actually haven't weighed myself since the National Hill Climb Championships,
yeah.
Which means I'm definitely still that weight.
That's how it works, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you've got 4 kilograms?
Not 4 kilograms, no, not quite, anyway.
Or 3.6?
Exactly, bang on. But that isn't quite 4 kilograms. Now, I'm not personally too worried. I actually felt I was a bit too light when I was 73 kilograms back in the summer. And I also wanted to switch off and relax over Christmas. But that's because I knew, Ollie, that I would get straight back into it and on the wagon on the 1st of January. And you've actually been trying to put weight on yourself, haven't you?
Well, in all honesty. Kind of, yeah. I mean, I've been going to Gainsbury's, Dan.
Crikey, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, hitting the gym, pumping iron.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Any more?
Plates.
Hitting the plates.
Yeah. Is it? Hitting the plates.
Right. Have you been hitting the creatine as well?
I have. Yeah, I've been taking creatine. Right. Okay. The other day, right, truth, I hit 1,000 watts, which is good for me.
It is good for you.
I mean,
actually.
Yeah.
Blimey, it's actually working, not bad at all. Yeah. With you though, it is also part of a larger, wider plan that is going to be revealed in a video format in a not too distant future.
Yeah.
However, if you are sat at home, a little bit annoyed with yourself for having eaten a bit more and exercised a bit less than you'd anticipated over the past couple of weeks, do not despair, because we've got some advice coming right up.
Yeah, but just before that though, we should point out that you can't completely undo months of hard work in just 2 weeks. That hard work is still there. I mean, some of it might be a little obscured currently, but it won't take long to rediscover it.
That's a very good point, very good point. Do not get despondent. It is easier to get it back than it is to get it in the first place. And you deserve to enjoy and indulge, so don't beat yourself up about doing it. Right then, number one, if anyone says to you, go big or go home, tell them where to shove it. What you want to focus on from here on in is simply consistency.
Yeah, and what that means is trying to get something done most days of the week. It's not about being perfect, it's about being better than you were. So if you plan to do 2 hours, but you find you only have one to spare, then do one. Don't write off the whole day. I mean, even if you do 20 minutes, it can make a meaningful difference.
Absolutely, and I think that leads us nicely actually on to number two. It is not all or nothing. It's something or nothing. By this, we mean that anything is better than nothing. The best laid plans can go wrong when you're fitting cycling exercise around other commitments. But if you've got a window of opportunity, just take it, even if it's a much shorter window than you hoped to have.
Yeah, I always struggle with this. I think it's because I hate it when I can't do what I was hoping to. So I think that's definitely something that, you know, I need to remember. But okay, number three,
yep.
Right? Find a way of making yourself feel accountable.
Yeah, this is a good one because our minds are very good at excusing ourselves if we don't do what we promised ourselves we would. One way of mitigating that is to make yourself accountable to other people. So I guess in cycling circles, that could be arranging to join local group rides, either out on the road or even virtual.
Yeah, and that way there's an extra sense of guilt that comes if
you don't... Which works, doesn't it?
It does, because it means that if you don't turn up to something that you'd arranged to do...
You feel guilty.
Yeah, and, you know, group rides are also just more enjoyable. You know, if you can go out with some mates, the time goes quicker and you can have a chat and just enjoy yourself.
Exactly. Actually, Lorraine's group rides and workouts on Zwift on Tuesdays and Thursdays have been great for both of us from that point of view. We know there's going to be a load of people on those group workouts and that we'll be held accountable if we're not on them.
Yeah, shameless plug that.
Well, it's not a shameless plug, it's a seamless plug, yeah. You'll find, Ollie. But honestly, they have been absolutely fantastic. I've done a lot more riding over Christmas and New Year than I would otherwise have done at this time of year. So make sure you do join us. Search for the GCN Club on Zwift. Look for the club rides on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've generally had about 300 people joining each one.
That's good, that.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Happy with that.
Yeah, it is good. Well, I think number four, I'm going to say remove barriers to exercise. Anything that you can do to make it easier to get out or just get on your bike in the first place is going to increase the likelihood that you will get out.
Yeah. So I guess things like getting everything ready for your ride the night before your ride, like kit, bike, batteries if you need them, ride food, etc., etc. Get it all ready so that all you need to do in the morning is have your breakfast and get out of the door.
I sometimes even make my breakfast, some overnight oats.
I've done that. I've done that sort of thing as well. Yeah.
But speaking of getting out of doors, that reminds me of a quote from, do you know the heavyweight boxer Ed Latimore?
I don't.
Okay, well, he said that the heaviest weight in the gym is the front door.
I see, yes.
Yeah? So showing up, that's the biggest hurdle. Remove those barriers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you sort of half joke, but it's a very good point, isn't it? Like, removing the barriers does help you to get on with stuff, be that working out or anything else. Right, another quote for you then, Ollie, seeing as how you've done one. You'll never regret doing a workout, but you'll often regret not doing one. Not quite such a good quote, but you get the gist. No idea who said that, but it is so true, isn't it? Right, on to number five then.
I'm just trying to think of a way in which you could regret doing a workout, because I think you could.
I think you could, but only at the very extreme end
of
cycling.
If you got hit by a car.
Well, if you're still here to regret it. That's dark humour, isn't it? Should we move on to number five? Right. Number five, don't try to make up for lost time.
Yeah, I saw a comment underneath the Denmark video recently that was this thing about someone had commented going, I've noticed in a few videos recently, Ollie he's been drinking and he's been eating loads of pastries.
I saw a couple of those comments.
Do we need an intervention? and for anyone who's got that perception, that's not how I live my life. Mm. Right? And I've tried to make this clear in other videos, but... the fact is, all year I've been treating myself to almond croissants and the odd grape juice here and there. But that's the key thing, it's a treat. It's everything in moderation. Mm. And I think the biggest mistake that people make is they hit January the 1st and they just think, right, we're going to live like monks now, remove everything.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I've definitely done. In fact, I have done it again this year.
Have you?
I've stopped nicotine, caffeine and alcohol as of January the 1st. And what are we now, 5th?
Well, what happens, and what's going to happen to Dan, is that you make it a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then you fall completely off the wagon, and then you completely crack, and then you just end up wallowing on the sofa in self-pity, hate, surrounded by 4 empty boxes of Jaffa Cakes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for describing my future self to me on January the 5th. That's very motivational of you, Ollie. No, I will generally try and get through to the end of January. Yeah. For me, it's about a sort of a fire break, as it were.
Right, a fire
break. I'm going to try not to go back to nicotine, but with alcohol, for example, I want it to become a treat again, because over Christmas and New Year, it became a routine as opposed to a treat, and so that's the idea of dry January for me. Yeah. Caffeine, don't know why I'm doing it, to be honest. Nothing wrong with caffeine. I stop before 11 anyway. Doesn't do me any harm. 3 a day. Yeah. Don't know why I'm doing that. Just for the extra torture, I guess. But I'm actually quite enjoying it. Anyway... what you need to do, going back to point five, is start steadily. So in terms of exercise and then food as well, It's with an amount that feels doable, that doesn't seem daunting, and that you think you're going to be able to do consistently for months rather than just weeks, as Ollie just described.
Yeah, it's like the tortoise and the hare. You know, you play the long game and you'll find that you get the bigger rewards.
Yeah,
right.
I'd say so.
So our final piece of advice for those of you who are looking to reverse your festive form, your aggressive bulking, is...
drum roll. Focus on the feeling, not on the numbers. So I think at this time of the year, the likelihood is you're going to be some way from your best form or your race weight, and so looking at numbers might well be more detrimental than it is helpful.
I mean, this is something that I think we've probably both been guilty of.
I've absolutely been guilty. I think you mentioned it before, you know, not trying to be perfect, but just trying to be consistent. I've absolutely been there many times.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still guilty of this now. But I think that January is the perfect opportunity to just get out and ride. You know, forget about your average speed, your power, you know, your weight or whatever. Just go out, you know, with mates especially is really good. Just have some fun, be consistent. And I think I know that those metrics, they look after themselves.
I expect so, yeah. And I'd imagine by February, you'll probably then be pleasantly surprised with where you're at. You might even have rekindled the original love that you had for cycling in the first place that you might have forgotten about along the way.
Yeah.
Right.
How much did you actually do over Christmas?
Oh, I didn't do loads, but nevertheless, I did stick to my plan.
Yeah?
Ollie.
Yeah? And what was that plan?
So my plan was to implement a new protocol that I have coined extreme recovery, which is quite similar to normal recovery, but better.
You don't do things by half, do you? You are like an all or nothing.
Exactly that, Ollie, exactly that. In all seriousness, I actually went to the gym with Lorraine on Christmas morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did 300 people turn up?
It was about what? I thought we'd have the whole gym to ourselves, and actually it was about like a normal day at the gym.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's quite a few single people that went there early and then went round to friends or family, whatever. We didn't have an excuse, the married couple, except the kids wouldn't be up before about 9 a.m. So we thought we'd just get something done first thing in the morning, be productive. Since Christmas Day, I've done 3 runs.
All right.
Doing 8 and sort of 12 kilometres and 2 Zwift sessions, one of which was that VO2 max session on New Year's Day.
That sounds like great fun.
It was great fun, Ollie, actually. It actually was.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, it was tough, don't get me wrong, but as I said earlier, Lorraine and I had 300 people joining us on that day. In fact, I think we should get into the Guinness Book of World Records, because I'd imagine that was the most people that have ever done a group VO2 workout session on New Year's Day. But anyway.
Quite possibly, yeah.
I would say that I've done enough for the time of year.
Yeah?
How much have you done?
I've done all right. I took a leaf out of your book.
And?
I had...
Which leaf?
The Christmas Recovery Week leaf.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So I didn't do much the sort of Christmas week, which was nice, you know, focusing on sort of friends and family and things. I think that's a really important thing, you know. It's important for the mental health, not just the physical health. But last week, I did get well and truly back on it. 17-hour week last week.
On the bike?
No.
Oh.
A mixture of bike and gym.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I've been consistently going to the gym sort of 3 times a week since the hill climb. But no, I feel really good for it, and I'm enjoying it, so it's good.
Yeah. Taking a leaf out of my book with the jumper as well, haven't you? That's just the first ever colour-coordinated GCN show. Time to throw it out to you lot at home. Did you let yourself go a bit over Christmas? Was that deliberate? Were you surprised when you jumped on the scales in January? Or maybe you used the time off work to do even more training than normal? You can let us know in the comment section just down below.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we'll start with the news that Bosch have invented an anti-theft system, which they say will make reselling stolen e-bikes almost impossible.
So they launched this new technology at the CES show in Vegas. It allows users to mark their bikes as stolen through the e-bike flow app. In turn, that bike and its components will be flagged on a digital ecosystem, and that will then get flagged again with a warning when second-hand buyers or dealers connect to the bike.
Even better news is that this is an update to the current app. So you don't need to purchase any additional software if you already have one.
It's a good idea, isn't it? Shame there's nothing implemented like this on non-e-bikes, I guess, but it'd be a bit more difficult to do, wouldn't it? Moving on, the BBC reported last month on the number of Japanese drivers who've been losing their license for riding drunk.
Yeah, according to the article, Japanese police have suspended the car driving licenses of nearly 900 cyclists after they were caught riding bicycles under the influence of alcohol.
Authorities deem that the offenders were likely to pose significant danger when driving a car.
Yeah, this is an interesting disincentive. Do you know the law about drinking and cycling in the UK?
I should, but I don't. Is it the same as driving?
No. Well, according to Section 30 of the 1988 Road Traffic Act, there isn't a specific blood alcohol limit for cyclists like there is for drivers. So you're not automatically committing an offence just because you're over a certain drink-drive limit.
What you're saying, then, or what the authorities are saying, is that we both could have cycled home from our Christmas GCN party.
Technically, but just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. As also according to Section 30 of the 1988 Road Traffic Act, police can stop you if they believe that you're unfit to ride because of alcohol. And they can arrest you without a warrant and you could be charged and fined, I think up to £1,000.
Oh, crikey. So we definitely shouldn't have cycled home from the GCN Christmas party then. Now, on to some pro cycling news now, and there have been quite a few more team kits revealed in the last couple of weeks. We're going to start with Bahrain Victorious, who I'd say probably had the most significant change over last years.
Yeah, they've changed from Merida to Bianchi bikes. Yeah. And I think a lot of people were quite surprised, actually, by this. The bikes are black and they're not chelest, which I think kind of people were sort of hoping for. However, they have got a nod to Bianchi's trademark colour in their kit and their helmets. Mm. The main difference is that the whole outfit is, it looks a lot darker than previous years.
I quite like it. It's quite a change, a stark change, isn't it? But I do like that kit. Most of you will know that Lotto and Intermarché are now one team, having merged. But despite that big merger, the jersey basically looks like a traditional Lotto one with an Intermarché logo midway down the chest. Meanwhile, Alpecin Premier Tech have gone back to their brighter blue colour of previous years. Right, Ollie, have a go at describing this one from EF.
Well, it's pink and it's got some swirls on it and some silver bits.
You didn't read the press release, did you?
Not yet.
No. Well, Ollie, this is the first kit the EF team have that hasn't been designed and made by Rafa in 6 years because, hot off the press, EF are partnering with ASOS for 2026 and beyond, which I'm sure you'll agree brings together two brands united by curiosity, performance and individuality. The partnership represents a shared belief that the future of cycling is built by those prepared to challenge convention.
You did read the press release, didn't you?
That is the press release, yes, and so I should continue, Ollie. This is not just a pink jersey, but actually it's inspired by themes of exploration and discovery. Its bold colour palette evolves EF Pro Cycling's unmistakable visual identity while introducing a new, almost otherworldly energy to the peloton. Designed as a complete performance system, the kit blends form and function using colour, materials and construction with the same purpose-driven intent as ASOS's engineering philosophy, which is, Ollie, every element serving a role in the pursuit of speed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Yes,
well put that down, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Is it hot or not, though, I guess is the question.
But, yeah.
Well, let's leave our opinions out of it for the time being because we'll get back onto that at some point in the future because when all the teams have released their 2026 team kits, we'll do a dedicated show deciding whether they're hot or not.
Yeah. Sticking with pro cycling for the moment, Quinn Simmons of Lidl Trek has said that once his cycling career finishes, he'd like to represent the USA in the Winter Olympics in ski mountaineering.
Yeah, apparently he was really good at ski mountaineering as a youngster.
Well, presumably he does that on Mount Lemmon, next to where he's from, when we've been over to Tucson.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, yeah.
But
he's certainly talented on the bike, isn't he? And if he did that as a youngster, I don't see any reason why he couldn't get back into it. I'm sure ski mountaineers will tell us there's a lot more to it than just raw talent and a bit of experience as a youngster. But
it's the nerd thing. It's the Winter Olympic event that I'm most looking forward to
It's new in
this year. It's new in the Olympics, yeah. And so it basically combines sort of cross-country skiing with downhill, but it's off-piste downhill.
Yeah, so it's like the gravel of skiing. But in the Olympics.
A little bit, yeah.
Anyway, Simon has got his eyes set on the Summer Olympics in LA for cycling. That's in 2028, of course. But then the Winter Olympics, which is in Utah in 2034.
I mean, it'd be quite something if he pulls that off.
It would be, yeah.
Absolutely. Do you know how many people actually have competed, it's a fun pub quiz stat this, in both the Summer and Winter Olympics?
Oh, God, no idea. 50?
139.
Is it? Mm. I thought it would be way less than that.
Well, clearly, because you guessed 50.
Crikey. I thought Si was hard to work with, Ollie. Nothing compared to you. right, with many of you will have successfully completed the Festive 500 at this point. Probably not many of you would have completed it quite as quickly as a certain Cam Jones.
For those of you who don't know Cam Jones, he's a New Zealander who won Unbound this year, and the overall Lifetime Grand Prix series, and he's a bit of a beast.
Bit of a beast. He's more than a bit of a beast, I don't think. Check out these stats for his 500-kilometre ride, for example. 36.4 kilometres per hour average, 13 hours 45 minutes, 302 watts average power, and all that for an average heart rate of just 135.
That is absolutely bonkers.
Crazy.
Isn't it? I mean, he's 80 kilograms, which is quite big for a cyclist.
Yeah.
But that is ridiculous. Yeah.
Well done, Cam Jones. Right, let's finish cycling shorts by announcing those two new sponsors of our own here at GCN. So firstly, we'd like to say a very warm welcome to HJC Helmets.
Yeah, welcome HJC. They've been designing and manufacturing helmets since 1971. And I think I speak for everyone here when I was surprised to learn that's actually before Lloydie was even born.
It is, yeah, 9 years before I was born, Ollie.
We'll be using the Furion 3, which is this one, as well as their Ibex 3 as well.
Looking forward to it.
Looking good in this orange. It'll stand out nice and clear during winter.
It really does stand out, doesn't it, over the winter months. And then the other sponsor we wanted to welcome on board is Shimano, who are going to be supplying us with shoes and pedals. Obviously, we'll be using different types on road versus gravel, but on both sides, I think it's safe to say Shimano have long been the benchmark when it comes to quality, so we're very proud to be working with them as well.
Yeah, thanks very much, Shimano. I'm extra delighted by this because prior to us being sponsored by them this last year, I actually got...
You've been using them, yeah.
Yeah, I've been using them. So, they're just brilliant.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right, so thanks very much to HJC and Shimano. You'll see us using them moving forward. Next up is time for hack/bodge of the week. For those of you who often watch the GCN Tech Show, you'll be wondering why Ollie's got a different laptop. He forgot to bring his own one in this morning, so we've had to supply him with a spare.
It's because it's like when you have to go to lost property at school.
Yeah, see matron.
I don't know where it's gone following the GCN Christmas party.
Have you not seen it since then?
Well, I mean, God knows what happened that night. Mm. But so now I've got the naughty boy. Purpose one from IT.
good that we documented some of the Christmas party so you can remember some of what happened, Ollie. Yeah. Anyway, our first hack/bodge of the week this week comes in from Andrew, put a rim brake to derailleur cabling setup. While in the process of swapping an old road bike onto my trainer, I realised I was going to be having a problem with setting up the shifting. The bike had all cables and outers stripped off already, and I thought that wasn't going to be a problem because I was going to use a Zwift cog and virtual shifting. Then I realised that to get a straight and quiet chain line, I'd need to have some tension in the rear mech. I was in a hurry, didn't want to go to the trouble of putting a fresh shifter cable through the lever because I'd have had to fit a few lengths of outer too. All I needed was something to keep tension in the cable, and there was a handy brake caliper not far away. So I put an old brake cable through the clamp on the derailleur, pulled it to the appropriate section, then clamped it to the rear brake. This looked very silly, but it has been fine for about a month at this point. As a final low effort touch, I also just taped the excess cable to the seat stay because I didn't have a cable cutter handy. In brackets, pretty sure this is a bodge.
What do you reckon?
Well, if you write at the end of your message, pretty sure this is a bodge, you might be swaying the opinion of the presenters anyway. But to be fair to you, Andrew, I was going to say bodge anyway. merely because you said it's been all right for about a month now. Initially, I was thinking, yeah, this could be a hack because short of time, maybe wanting to join a group workout with Lorraine and I on January the 1st or something. All of a sudden found that he couldn't get his gear to be quiet because the rear derailleur wasn't in the right place and came up with this ingenious and quick solution.
It's pretty clever, though. It's pretty clever.
It's clever for a short-term solution.
Yeah.
1 month later, I'm less not so sure.
Yeah. All right, then. Bodge. We'll go bodge on that one.
That was quick. Well, I'm going bodge too. Sorry.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Clem Fandango.
Clem Fandango. Fantastic.
Yes, we can hear you, Clem Fandango. And they have got a stick on their seat post. And they say that on a spin up the Kilpatrick Hills, west of Glasgow, he suddenly heard and then felt the unmistakable crack of a carbon seat post. Oh, awful. And before he knew it, this post had flopped over. Being stuck in the middle of nowhere, miles from the nearest road. I'm not going to read what he put there, but he said, armed only with a tiny penknife, he proceeded to whittle, which is a great verb, an internal brace from the nearest saplings. Thankfully, as no newbie to innovation through desperation, he carried a stash of straps, which were then used to bind the post back together.
I think people like, is it Chris? No, Clem Fandango, sorry.
Clem.
Friend, Clem, it was his friend Chris that you missed out.
Yeah.
I think they're looking forward to problems like this. That's why they've got all these clips and things with them, because they can't wait to show how ingenious they are at finding a solution. So an internal and an external piece of wood used there. I mean, it's got to be a hack. It's a roadside hack to get you home without having to sit on the top tube, isn't it?
I mean, I think any kind of sort of fix that requires the verb whittling.
It's well written as well. Yeah.
Anything that involves whittling of wood with a knife is a hack.
It's got to be a hack.
Yeah.
Well, for anyone else considering sending in a hack or a bodge, maybe do some whittling of wood, whatever the hack or bodge.
With a blade.
And if Ollie's on the show again, he'll give it a hack.
Yeah.
Right, next up, this one from Judah Phillips, custom motorbike. I was shopping with a friend when I noticed a tailpipe tied to an old Trek city bike and realised the owner had also strapped an engine and small gas tank to the bike as well. The engine appears to tie directly into the front chainring, which would be terrifying to ride when the pedals are spinning wildly. My friend and I also love the fact they take the propel bottle to the down tube and a flashlight to the front, and that the whole setup was primarily held together with tape and nylon rope, with a bungee cord thrown in here or there.
I mean, that looks like sort of Mad Max Fury Road from Timu edition, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable. If you're listening to this in podcast format and you can't see this bike, it's very hard to describe because there is so much going on. It's already been described quite well by Judah Phillips anyway. The seat post is interesting. I mean, of all the things to stand out, the seat post probably shouldn't be it, but it's like an old school suspension seat post, which is crooked, making me wonder how it's even suspended in the first place.
That bike is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, that was an obvious bodge, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. I'm going bodge with that one.
Okay. Right, what's the last one?
It's from Steve L, and we have an apparel hanger. I think they mean coat hanger.
Yeah.
And he said he works at a local bike shop here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and their service manager, Jeff, is not only an amazing mechanic, but he also doesn't like to waste any product that they receive, especially recall items or broken parts that could have a second life of something else. And here is one of those products that Jeff created from old recalled parts. It is a apparel hanger, coat hanger, made from a specialised Roval C38 carbon wheel, a used spoke, and some used Supercaz bar tape. And he gave it to me as a present, and I use it every day. I hope to get more in different carbon wheel depths and bar tape colours.
I've actually got something very similar at home that we used to be sponsored by Reynolds Wheels many, many years ago, and they did something similar with any recalled products. So I've got a Reynolds coat hanger at home that I still use.
Have you? That's really cool, that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. I think that's some good upcycling. Plus, it's going to be an incredibly light and stiff coat hanger.
It would be, yeah. Yeah. Probably lighter and stiffer than the previous coat hanger it replaced.
And good at, just holding heavy coats. Because sometimes they can sort of warp and deflect and bend.
Yeah, I came to a point in my life where I upgraded all of our coat hangers to be much more sturdy.
All right. Yeah. Baller!
I'm living the life.
I've not reached that milestone
yet. No, but
yet.
When you get there, mate, it's just a different level.
Boy can dream.
Right, don't forget to get involved in this part of the show. If you've got any even stronger coat hangers or apparel hangers than that, make sure you send them in. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Time now for the caption competition, where you have the chance to win a GCN Camelback water bottle. Last week's picture.
Well, just before we get into last week's photo, I'm not sure we've ever mentioned it on video before, right, but you won a GCN coveted water bottle before you joined GCN, didn't you?
We have mentioned it loads of times.
Have we? Okay. Yeah. Well,
but I did. I entered a photo contest.
Yeah, and won.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have many submissions that week, I seem to remember. Right.
Win's a win, Dan.
A win's a win. Yeah, I haven't had many. Last week's photo was this one from the Cyclocross campaign. This is, of course, Cam Mason, the British national champion. And our winner this week is Brunin Bikes, who put caption competition, better out than in.
It's good, that.
It's quite immature. Made us both chuckle, as you would expect. So, yeah, that's the winner for this week. So, well done, Brunin Bikes. Get in contact with us on Facebook, and we will get a bottle sent out to you as soon as possible. This week's photo is this one of Mathieu van der Poel coming across the line, victorious yet again for the ninth time in succession this season.
Basically, if he turns up.
Effectively, yeah. At the Zonovan World Cup on Sunday. I'll get you started. Mathieu van der Poel takes aim through his Velux window, available in all good window stores.
Fantastic, that.
Yeah, absolutely. New year, new me, you know.
I can tell, yeah.
Some bits are still the same old me, not very good. Right, do your best. Put your captions in the comment section down below. We will pick a winner this time next week.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to beat that.
I doubt it, but we'll take the best one. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week, but first up, as ever, we'll go through a few of our favourite comments from last week's videos, and some from the week before, actually, because we've not done an up-to-date show, shall we say, for a couple of weeks at this point.
I've been some really good ones as well.
Fantastic, yeah. We normally start with last week's show. So this one came in from Mike Dudgarry, and many others, actually, who put, at 59 seconds, that is not a photo of Roger de Vlaeminck, it's Moser. Well, unfortunately, on the photography website we used, it was incorrectly tagged. And none of us who know the difference between Moser
and de Vlaeminck
Watched the show before it went out. So, sorry about that. Yeah. Kind of our fault, kind of not our fault.
Yeah, sorry, Rog and Moreno.
Yeah.
Kwon Yong Day B5V.
I assume that's what I put that into Google Translate, because obviously I couldn't read the original username.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's correct.
In Korean, is that?
I didn't even look, actually. I just translated it. I just put detect language.
Okay, right. Well, Kwon Yong says, I repeat, 2025 was an incredible year for GCN with unbelievable quality documentaries and informative shows. I even feel like YouTube might be too small for you. Personally, I'd like to see more classic / retro bikes from GCN in 2026. How about participating in La Roika altogether?
I do quite fancy going back to Eroica at some point.
It would be fun. I think it'd be a really good day out.
Yeah, would be, yeah.
Just go out and chill and...
You were correct, by the way. Korean. I've just looked it back up again. Well done. Well recognised. How do you do that?
Squid Game.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Easton Brown put, you know it's Christmas when Si starts giving out hacks for mudguards that are attached with zip ties. Yeah, he strangely positive and generous, I seem to remember Si was on that particular show. Meanwhile, underneath the Hangover Challenge, which was particularly popular amongst a lot of you, Craig R2167, but so many thoughts. For Dan, boozing is simply carb loading, correct? That's what I did over Christmas. I carb-loaded
in
my extreme recovery. Si represents the majority. Alex has the most extreme pain face I've ever seen. As we said, lots of comments along those lines. Connor demonstrating how to have fun at night responsibly. And Ollie reminding us of his student life, or of student life. His awakening needs to be a big canvas printout as background to the show to remind us all of the dangers of alcohol. Fair play to you all, the camaraderie is a beautiful thing.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, on the hangover, then. Yeah. So it's because you don't remember it.
Regular John MTB said, I think Ollie was the only one who took this seriously. I think so too.
Yeah. I agree. Took it seriously.
Yeah.
Very seriously.
And Mario De Felice, network engineer, said, so, Dan found a way to drink on company time and dime too now.
Yeah. I did.
You did, yeah.
And I took full advantage until half two in the morning. Loads and loads and loads of comments under the bike packing video from Denmark. All of them pretty much positive. So thank you very much for all of you who've watched it and commented. Jay Sherpa, this video moved Denmark way up the list of places I'd like to visit. And replying to that, Britta Fryer put, I'm Danish, and it moved Denmark up on the list of places I'd like to visit too.
Yeah. That's cool, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, and there's Locarola said, these are the kind of bike rides where you end up weighing more at the end than when you started. Yeah. Love it.
Like a Christmas bike ride.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you know, everything in sort of moderation and stuff. But yeah, it was really good.
I remember when you both got back from that trip, you sort of said, I hope people enjoy watching that because we've had a great time.
Yeah. We have a good time on other videos as well.
On that trip in particular.
Yeah, we had a good time. But I think it is that thing of, you know, we say this in the video, but we do put pressure on ourselves where we often, you know, do these things that are a really, really tough physical challenge or race or whatever. And that was just a really fun, enjoyable... Yeah, but like, it was just a fun, enjoyable ride. And so we weren't sure how necessarily people were going to take it. But thankfully, people have said they want to see more, which is great news for us.
Well, it's great.
Means we can do more of it.
Great news for me. I mean, it's got my mind whirring. Like, you can just do a fun, enjoyable ride and people like watching it. Yeah. Happy days. Meanwhile, under gravel bike versus cyclocross, this is where Alex and Si race cyclocross together while switching bikes. Muppet Keeper, but I'm a cyclocross commissaire. For me, the best thing is anyone can turn up. Last season, in one race, we literally had a lady who got her bike out of a skip the month before and Kat Ferguson from Movistar in the same race.
That's great.
That is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. That's really good. Jamie Farrell, under that video, said, ha, the most first world problem ever in cycling, switching from Dura Ace to SRAM Red was hard.
That's what Si said, wasn't
it? Yeah,
that?
I know.
And finally, Brian Rainey, but Canyon, better make sure Alex's bike is returned with the Dura Ace crankset.
Absolutely.
Good point, Brian. Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that. Right, in terms of what we've got coming up on the channel this week, this might be subject to change because we're just returning to work for January. But hopefully on Thursday, we'll have a video on can anyone ride an e-cargo bike? That will be with Si. Saturday's video, I think, will change. It was one that Connor was supposed to be doing, but he's slightly under the weather at the moment. And Sunday, it's why Ollie no longer rides time trial bikes. Do you care to elaborate without giving the game away?
I'm just no longer going to ride a time trial bike, Dan, and I don't want to spoil it for the viewers.
Okay, I was going to say, that's not elaborating, that's just rewording. Anyway, that should be out for you on Sunday. Right, thanks for joining me on the show today, Ollie.
Much appreciated. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for watching through to the end if you've got to this point, and we'll see you again this time next week.
Love you, bye.